Hour number two, we're going to take a look this hour with a gentleman who, I may be mistaken, but I think he may have made one of his very first radio appearances here years and years and years ago, and has stayed the course, trying to serve mankind, womankind, humankind with the truth and to give adequate warning. He is an extraordinary man. I consider him a friend. He has been making the rounds lately of a lot of big-time talk shows, but he's back with us tonight. We kind of consider him family here. He is Lindsey Williams. Pastor Lindsey Williams, of course, has an extraordinary story to tell, as always, and we're very glad to have him back on the program tonight. Hello, Lindsey.
Jeff, you are exactly right. I had never thought about that. It was on your show that I had my debut. Many, many years ago, you allowed me to be on your show before. And you said he's been on all the big shows. No, Jeff Rent Show is a big show, too. And likewise, I consider you to be a friend. But, Jeff, tonight is so different than any time I've ever been with you. I am so appreciative, and I consider it a privilege that you would allow me to be here to tell the real story of the Gulf of Mexico oil disaster. Jeff, I had the privilege of being on with you a few weeks ago, and I still had not contacted any of my elitist friends. I tried to get in touch with them. I could not.
Right.
As many of you know, the mainstream audience in my crisis held to Washington State for some cancer therapy, and I had not been able to get in touch with any of them. Well, I have. I contacted my elitist friends. A retired Atlantic Richfield executive, along with, he put me in touch with two BP managers. Jeff, they are so concerned. They wanted to say everything they could, and they did. They confided in me things that you're going to hear tonight. Then I contacted a Halliburton worker who was actually on the rig just a matter of hours before it blew up. And, Jeff, every one of them, even though they didn't know each other, the Atlantic Richfield executive, the BP managers, the Halliburton worker, none of them, and every one of them told the identical same story. Of course, from my elitist friend alone, I would have been willing to believe anything you said.
Sure.
But when every one of them told the same story, Jeff, this story is one that I consider it a privilege that you would allow me to be here tonight to tell.
Well, I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm glad you're here. By the way, just as a prelude to what Lindsey is about to bring us, the BP death clouds are already on shore. Benzene, which has a so-called safe level of 0 to 4 parts per billion, billion, 0 to 4 parts per billion, is being measured at 3,400 parts per billion. Think of the little babies. Think of the invalids. Think of people who are not in good health. Think of anyone. Benzene is a deadly carcinogen in the air all over the Gulf region now at 3,400 parts per billion, and it's not going away. We're talking about the potential here of mass panic at some point. But please, Lindsey, go right ahead with your story. I can't wait to hear it.
Well, Jeff, what your audience is going to hear tonight is shattering. I would beg of you to please get pencils and paper and take notes, even though it'll be on Rents.com, and you can hear it. Take notes tonight so you've got it. The people of America have got to know the truth. The oil that's coming up in the Gulf out of that gusher, that is not the most dangerous part of all of this. The oil destroys the wildlife and the fish and the oysters and the shrimp and the prime white beaches of Pensacola, Florida, and the marshlands and the coral reefs. What comes out of that Gulf of Mexico oil gusher with the oil is causing the death of humans and unborn babies. Okay, let me start off first by giving a little background, Jeff, so that the average person out in the audience who may not be oil knowledgeable will understand what I'm trying to say this evening. All of this began back in 1970 when the Russians first drilled a super deep well. Coca-Cola SG3, it went to a world record depth of 40,230 feet. Since then, Russia oil majors, including Yukos, have drilled 310 successful deep oil wells and put them to production.
Yeah, they had every time, folks, every time they hit oil, just to get that straight, at depth.
Yes. Yeah. And as a result of this, last year, Russia overtook Saudi Arabia as the world's biggest single oil producer and is now set to completely dominate global oil production and sales in the next century. Now, what did Russia find? When Russia got down to 40,230 feet, there are no rotted trees and plants and animals down there.
No dead
First
dinosaurs.
Of all, they proved that it is not a fossil fuel. I'll tell you what they did find. They found abiotic. Please write this down. You're going to hear the word in the future. A-B-I-O-T-I-C. They found abiotic oil. Oil from chemical process that is taking place somewhere in the heart of the earth, and they don't know exactly how it does it. Mm-hmm. But as a result, it is filling up monstrous oil pools in super deep cavities, and that oil is seeping up into shallow fields such as Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, Mexico, and others. Peak oil just went out the window. Now, let me get into the Gulf of Mexico. I had to give that background because Russia was the first one to ever drill a super deep well, but Russia had sense enough to drill their Coca-Cola SG3 wells on land, not in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
Now to the Gulf of Mexico, Gusher. I contacted one of my elite, one of the misdirections in my book, The Energy and On Crisis, so I could try to find out the truth. And what I found out is startling. It even frightens me, and I'm sure it must disturb you too, Jeff. It appears that BP, British Petroleum, that is not an American oil company. This is a British oil company, was trying to do what Russia did and drill a super deep well. The only difference is BP was so stupid, and I don't hesitate using that word. BP was so stupid as to try and drill that super deep well to match what Russia was doing, and they were doing it off of a floating platform in the Gulf of Mexico that was controlled its position by sophisticated GPS equipment in water that was 5,000 feet deep. Now, 5,280 feet is 1 mile. But they were trying to drill off of a floating platform, 5,000 foot water, and they had drilled approximately 25,000 to 30,000 feet. This was confirmed by my sources, by the way, Jeff. They had drilled somewhere between 25,000 and 30,000 feet. This is on the edge of human technology. They hit something so catastrophic and unexpected that they could not contain it. They hit a strata of oil at such high pressure, and last time I was on your program, I told you I thought this was what they had done. This was confirmed by my BP source and also the Mr. X of my book, Energy on Crisis. They hit a high pressure higher than Russia ever hit. But Russia never got anything like this in their super deep well. That BP, it burst everything. I mean, it literally blew every safety valve. And not only that, but the part that is concerning me most is it also perforated the pipe that was in the ocean because of the extreme pressure.
Right.
And now we have fissures up to 5 miles, and one group, even the NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, is saying they're up to 20 miles away. I'll read you that article in a moment, of oil coming up out of the ocean because it, that pipe was actually broken. They went past everything that human science could contain. Let me try to explain this by going back to my experiences at Prudhoe Bay. I was the chaplain to the elite of the world for 3 years' time at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. And I watched many oil wells brought in. And the first thing that they would ever tell when an oil well was brought in was the flow rate.
They would check it to see how many barrels. Uh-huh. Right. That was the hallmark. Stand by, Lindsay. We'll take a break. Come right back. Keep in mind that this astonishing amount of pressure is not diminishing. It is now coming up through fractures, apparently, in multiple locations. We don't know how many exactly. This pipe is at any moment could be blown right out of the hole. The erosion of the surface of the pipe has now reduced it. It was 2 inches thick. It is now less than 1 inch thick, simply from the erosion effects of the material coming up through and around it. It's about to be blown out of the hole. That'll happen at any time. And then, what do we have? We have an even worse catastrophe. Back with Lindsay Williams in just a minute. I think we're back, and let's get right to business with Lindsay Williams. Lindsay, as you said, when you were up at Prudhoe for those years, the first thing that people would talk about when a well was brought in was the flow rate. Please continue.
Flow rate was number one, and immediately after that, they would give the pressure, the well head.
Uh-huh.
Be sure and notice these words, well head pressure, of that particular oil well. Nowhere has anyone in the media, have I seen any place, any authoritative source, that has ever told the well head pressure of this well in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, let me compare this to Prudhoe Bay before I give you the figures. Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, oil wells in America's oil field up on the Arctic Ocean ran usually 1,500 pounds per square inch, PSI.
1,500.
Compare that to something.
All right.
An automobile tire is approximately 35 pounds per square inch. A truck tire on the big rigs runs somewhere between 100 to 110 pounds per square inch. My sources that I contacted, whom I mentioned a moment ago, said that the BP Gulf of Mexico oil well has a well head pressure of, you ready, between 20 and 70,000 PSI pounds per square inch. This is beyond human technology.
20 and 70,000. 20,000 to 70,000, and it varies, or it's somewhere in between there. This is so over the top, Lindsay, that to talk about capping that is absurd. It's not going to happen.
Well, no, you're right. And I'll get to that in just a moment because they gave me predictions as to what's going to happen. So, folks, I hope you have those pencils and paper ready. Now, there is one thing that I found out from a very confidential BP management source. On the top of that well is what is called a fail-safe valve, F-A-I-L-S-A-F-E, valve. It's supposed to hold when everything else gives. And there was a conversation between the foreman on the platform before the explosion and one of the workers, and the worker said to the foreman, "The fail-safe valve has been damaged. It's warped. We need to change it." The foreman said, "I don't have time. We got to get this well underway," and he did not change it. It may have held it. Most of my sources say it probably wouldn't have held anyway because the pressure exceeds anything that we've ever seen before. So the fail-safe valve, they did make one mistake that was drastic, and as a result, my sources are saying, I know it's much more than this, and you can tell me the latest of what your people are telling you, but my sources said to me, we want to be extremely conservative. Jeff, as you know, the people that I contact are the elite themselves, and these people don't exaggerate. Whenever they say something, you can be assured that they're going to say it within the limit of what they know is the truth. And I'm sure it's much more than this, but my sources said that it is flowing at the rate of 4 million gallons a day. I'm sure it much exceeds that. What have you been hearing?
Oh, the amount of oil coming out a day? 100,000 is one figure I've heard. I heard a lot of figures. I don't honestly think anyone who knows is talking. And all they're trying to do now is talk. They're discussing various ways of trying to measure the flow and all this stuff. What really concerns me, Lindsay, is nature abhors a vacuum. This oil is coming out of an intensely pressurized dome or field or cavity deep in the earth. We don't know how big it is. It could be half the size of the United States. We don't have any idea. When this oil, which has been spewed into the Gulf of Mexico, eventually runs out of pressure, if it does, I should throw that in there, we don't know, there is going to be an opening, space, a void, a vacuum, as it were, in the cavity from whence the oil came. And as one doctor, PhD, wrote, and you know this very well, and many of you listening know this from reading it at Rents.com and then perhaps other places too, the water is going to go down that hole and fill that cavity. It's under tremendous pressure a mile deep, and that water is going to be pushed by that pressure down into that hole to fill that empty space in that cavity, wherever it is and whenever it can be filled. We don't know how long this pressure is going to stay. Could last for years. We don't know. And when that water goes down into that hole and into that cavity, it's going to meet temperatures in excess of 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Water boils, I think most of you know, at 212. We're talking about the potential here of a blast of thermonuclear magnitude, raising the floor, creating a tsunami 20 to 80 feet tall, some estimates, which could destroy all life up to 50 miles inland. It could result in an enormous cave-in and fracturing and cratering of the Gulf of Mexico floor, which will open up that entire cavity of oil, however big it is, which could then turn the seas black. This is a potential extinction-level event, a potential extinction-level event. Now, I want to hear what your sources, which are the best, have to say about some of these things, please. We'll take a break. Come right back with Lindsay Williams as we get an insider's inside look at what is really going on. In the meantime, you people keep in mind, benzene is a killer. I don't want to start a panic, but I do believe that people have a right to know. When they talk about 0 to 4 parts per billion being safe, to me only 0 is safe. But you've got 3,400 parts per billion now being measured in the air being breathed by human beings in the Gulf, on land. We'll be right back. Right back to our conversation with Lindsay Williams. I can't resist, Lindsay, before you get right back to your fascinating narrative. Associated Press reporting, in a newly optimistic tone, President Barack Obama promised today that, quote, things are going to return to normal, end quote, along the stricken Gulf Coast, and the region's fouled waters will be in even better shape than before the catastrophic BP oil spill. Well, this is desperation propaganda time, folks. Please go ahead, Lindsay.
This man is totally out of touch with all reality, and he must be living in some dream world somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Will BP be able to stop the flow of the oil? That was one of my first questions to these oil company officials. And the first thing that was said was, I hope so. Now, many methods have been tried. Everything that they thought would work to this point has been tried. One authority said to me, Chaplain, the only thing that's left is a nuclear device. But, and oh my goodness, Jeff, I could hear almost fear in his voice when he said, but. I said, what do you mean? He said, Chaplain, if we're successful, we will be the heroes of the world. He said, if we fail, because of the extreme pressures that are on this particular strata of oil that BP has drilled into, where nothing, no one has ever experienced these pressures of 20 to 70,000 pounds per square inch before. He said, if we use that nuclear device, he said, and we don't succeed, but we rupture the strata even further, he said, there will be no stopping. He said, it will go on forever. And he said, I don't even want to think about it. Now, you were right in everything you said a moment ago, Jeff, as to the fact that the pipe itself is literally deteriorating because of the extreme amount of abrasives that are hitting it. And, yeah, you're right. It probably is a half of its size at this time. Plumes have been discovered 5 to 20 miles away. Let me give you one that you can verify for yourself. Senator Bill Nelson, Democrat from Florida, on June the 9th, he appeared on MSNBC, interviewed by Andrea Mitchell, and he said, oil is seeping up from the seabed. Now, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration also admitted on the, it was the 8th of June, Chris Baltimore from Houston, Texas, this appeared in Reuters News, U.S. experts investigating reports of undersea oil plumes, and they verified it and said that they could be up to 20 miles away. Now, I'm going to go to the other side of the coin. Enough for those facts. The black oil in the water in the Gulf of Mexico is not the greatest danger. I can tell already, Jeff, that you've done your homework on this. That black stuff is only destroying the ecology. What comes out with that oil gusher is causing the death of humans and unborn babies, and this scares the daylights out of me. Most people think that the only thing that comes out of an oil well is oil. That is the furthest thing in the world from the truth. And it will depend on the particular oil field as to what comes up with that oil. And in this particular one in the Gulf of Mexico, which, of course, they don't have the slightest idea what's down there because they have never drilled into one with this pressure at this depth before. Even Russia didn't have this pressure, even though they went a little bit deeper.
Right.
But what the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, came out with this past week, which Jeff just gave a moment ago, about benzene, let me give you one or two more that they've also classified. And all this, I cannot believe. I mean, it's beyond my comprehension as an honest man and as a minister of the gospel for 40 years that we could have such despotic, evil, wicked people in Washington, D.C., who care so much for their jobs that they aren't willing to tell the American people the truth, yet those people are breathing toxic, flammable items that is going to cause a health hazard that is going to be so horrendous that no health care system in the world could ever afford to take care of it. Now, let me give you what they call this. The EPA calls these volatile organic compounds, and they're in the air in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, I remember as a pilot, I was a pilot for 30 years, and I know that the winds in America, the upper air currents, they travel from northwest to southeast. That means that the Gulf Coast, and particular Florida, is already getting these horrible gases. Let me just list a few of them for you. Number one was hydrogen sulfide. The EPA said that hydrogen sulfide can be breathed in by human beings at a safe level of 5 to 10 parts per billion. They just tested a few days ago, currently, 1,200 parts per billion of hydrogen sulfide. Now, the one that Jeff mentioned a moment ago is the one that scares me most. It's benzene. It's toxic, a carcinogen, safe levels, zero. I mean, that's how dangerous the Environmental Protection Agency says it is to four. Yet they've got 3,000 parts per billion. Let me read you what I found about benzene. Exposure to low levels of benzene can cause dizziness, drowsiness, headaches, confusion, tremors, rapid heartbeat, and unconsciousness. Long-term exposure to benzene can damage the bone marrow, lead to blood problems like leukemia. It also weakens the immune system and targets the organs such as the kidneys, lungs, liver, and brain. Can you imagine the birth defects that are going to appear in unborn babies because of mothers who are breathing this, and our government has not the audacity to go in there and at least warn them what they're breathing. I mean, the least they could do was give them an opportunity to know what they are breathing, and if they want to stay there, they can, and if they want to leave, they can. The next one is methylene chloride.
Mm-hmm.
State level, 61 parts per billion. Currently, there are 3,000 to 3,400 parts per billion
wow.
in the atmosphere, in the Gulf, flowing into the Gulf Coast. People are breathing this, and you even imagine. Oh, by the way, you did hear that the first tropical depression appeared today and
yeah.
is heading across the ocean.
Sure.
It's a hurricane.
Hurricane All Alley, folks. Right in the middle, Lindsay. Hurricane Alley. This is going to be real bad, and I think of the tens of millions of people who are trapped literally in their homes, their mortgages, their lives, their jobs, in the way of unbelievable, potentially disastrous hurricane impact. Be right back. We return our final segment already with Lindsay Williams. We covered a lot of ground. Pretty scary stuff, Lindsay. Go right ahead, please. These figures are irrefutable, by the way. This isn't alarmist yellow journalism. These are scientific facts. This is hardcore data with which you must make decisions about what you're going to do or not going to do in the immediate future. The first tropical depression, and I think they're predicting 14 major hurricanes this year, something like that, Lindsay. I wonder how they know that. At any rate, that's another program. It's called HARP. Let's see what happens. Go ahead, please. Let's get the rest of the data on the table here.
One hurricane catching all of those gases, taking all of that oil that's on the surface and pushing it inland, could literally devastate all the way up the east coast of the United States of America. People would be so polluted. There would be so many problems. I can't even imagine of it. Now,
agreed.
I have been somewhat intimated to that even though this was an accident, and I have no questions and no doubt after all the people that I've talked with that this was not done intentionally. Now, they may be allowing it to continue intentionally. That I don't know. They didn't tell me. But it was not intentionally done. But they do plan to use this disaster to accomplish their timeline. Now, Jeff, you'll remember that about a year and a half ago, I appeared on your show just after talking with the 87-year-old gentleman who said, Chaplain, I'm too old to care, just tell them everything. And as a result, I did. I told everything they were going to do. Now, that timeline they intend to keep, and they will have no problem whatsoever keeping that timeline in light of what is happening right now in the Gulf of Mexico. It will easily enable them to do it. In fact, just a moment. I'm going to read you from John Hoffmeister, former president of Shell Oil. He wrote a book entitled, Why We Hate the Oil Companies. That's a pretty good one. I'm going to tell you what he says. Now, he's out in the news bold with this. And I'm going to tell you in just a moment what he says is going to happen. But first of all, let me tell you what I'm gathering from my sources
mm-hmm.
that you can look forward to in this. What is going to happen to the dollar? Everything that I was told in the timeline that I gave you is going to take place with the dollar, and they can easily do it now. Where will the stock market go? Folks, oh, please, you've got to know this. What about your retirement and Social Security? Where will the price of gold and silver go with all of this happening like that? But I'm going to go a step further. Did you know that only a few hours ago, that Saudi Arabia gave permission for Israel to overfly their country in order to go to Iran?
Well, actually,
this
the story
only hours ago.
Yeah,
I just
story,
got it a few minutes
just,
ago.
Just so you know, the story actually broke yesterday morning. It was then subsequently denied by a Saudi prince. We are still unsure about the formal, firm position of the Saudi government. If it did, in fact, do what you're suggesting and what the stories yesterday morning first suggested, that would, of course, open the door to the attack on Iran. But more than that, Lindsay, we have the Iranian aid ships. There are two or three of them coming. There have also been 100,000 Iranians volunteer to go to Gaza to help. They'll never get there. But the Iranian Navy is allegedly going to escort these aid ships right to Gaza. This is a direct challenge, of course, to the thermonuclear power Israel. And we will see. This could ignite the whole thing. We'll see. But very, very important story nonetheless. Again, Saudi prince denied it several hours yesterday after the story broke. The story is still running around. I don't have a final disposition on what exactly the Saudi government is or is not going to do. I just want to let my listeners know that.
Well, about a year and a half ago, Jeff, when I had the privilege of being on your show, I had just been told by this 87-year-old elitist friend of mine that they would not have war with Iran for 2 to 2.5 years. You'll remember that you asked me back about 4 or 5 months ago. I had just talked with this gentleman again before he went to Seattle for some malignant problems he had. Mm-hmm. And he had told me at that time that they did not want war with Iran for 1 year. Now, that's about 4 to 5 months ago. It's time. They do have war planned with Iran. Mm-hmm. It's planned. It's in the works. They are going to be able to keep their timetable. So here's what I did. I had to. I had no choice. I have prepared a documentary. Everything that's happening in the Gulf with the oil disaster, what they plan to do as a result of it. I'm just looking at my notes right here now. It would take at least 2 hours. I've only covered a fraction of what I've got in front of me. I beg of you, will you please get the documentary that I have just prepared for your listening? I prepared it only 3 days ago, and it is now available. In fact, I have operators standing by tonight. There's some people that are so concerned that I get this message out that they've even been willing to work as long as necessary tonight to be able to take your calls. Will you please get my 6 DVD set, and will you please get the new documentary that I just prepared 3 days ago for you to know everything that the elitist have told me, and only about half of that have I even had time to give to you tonight because of lack of time, and Jeff has been so gracious. Will you please call our toll-free number, 888-799-6111, or go to prophecyclub.com. Now, spell that with a C, prophecyclub.com, or our toll-free number with operators standing by right now, 888-799-6111, Gulf of Mexico oil disaster. Now, let me tell you where oil's going. John Hofmeister, former president of Shell Oil, who wrote the book Why We Hate the Oil Companies, he said, while we dream about new energy systems that is decades in the future, the prices that consumers will have to pay for things like gasoline, electricity, diesel could skyrocket. Prices could go to the point where food income and low-income people and are simply taken out of the personal mobility marketplace, which would be a shock unnecessary. You want to know why he says it? He said, if the President of the United States of America continues on his plan of not allowing offshore drilling, and by the way, he has already said no more permits are going to be allowed for deep wells offshore anywhere. Here's what Hofmeister says. People don't want oil washing up on their beaches, whether it's in the Gulf of Mexico or Florida, maybe. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Americans' public is going to say, we don't want drilling in offshore? He said, okay, if you don't want it, accept, you ready for the price? Here it is. Accept $6 to $8 per gallon at the gas pump in the not-too-distant future.
Hmm.
If our government continues on its plan, can you imagine what will happen to the airlines? What will happen? They'll need to nationalize every one of these.
Yeah.
Just like they've done with Chrysler and General Motors. I mean, they want an excuse to take them over. And this will be their opportunity to do it because now none of them will be able to operate. An airline cannot fly and on that price of fuel. They're already in such a cramped position right now. The elite have plans to do everything, whether it be your Social Security, your retirement, the price of gold and silver. I've already told you where that was going. The elitist told me back 2 years ago that the price of gold was going to go through the roof, and it's done exactly what he said it would do. Now war with Iran is imminent, almost, it looks like. He said we've got six more months. What will happen to the dollar? Every bit of this is in the report that I have given, that this elitist friend gave to me, along with our very latest one, the documentary on the Gulf of Mexico oil disaster. And, Jeff, I don't know how to say enough that people need to set their spiritual house in order. Folks, you've got to get things lined up. Don't wait any longer to do anything that you're going to do, because we are at a position right now that if they don't stop the flow of that oil, which they say they cannot do for at least 3 to 4 months.
They keep talking about Christmas.
He said, Chaplain, even if we plant a nuclear device, we've got to angle drill, get down into that before we can plant it. And he said that will be 3 to 4 months in advance in the future before they can even consider the possibility of trying to stop this with a nuclear device. And if that nuclear device doesn't work and they fracture that shelf even more, nobody even wants to think about what.
How can it not? Look at the amount of displaced oil and gas that has been released from that cavity, however big that dome may be. That's a space that has to be filled with something. Whether it's more oil and gas, I don't know. Do you want to take a chance with a nuclear warhead, a shaped charge? Low radioactivity, I'm not particularly concerned about that. But what if it caves in? It just drops the whole thing down. The geology just gives way. And then that pressure just skyrockets right through the rubble, the fractured geology, and we have black oceans and black rain and black death. Not a pretty picture. Lindsay, get the phone number again, please.
Well, the elitist friend said to me, he said, we are afraid of what might happen if we use a nuclear device.
Well,
he said it's the only method of stopping it.
Yeah, well, he's darn well right, in my opinion. But it is, at this point, it does seem to be the only way that this is eventually going to be tried to stem the flow. Give the phone number again, please, Lindsay.
Toll free, 888-799-6111, or on the web, PROPHECY Club, CLUB.com. Prophecy spelled with a C. And you can go there now if you wish, and operators are standing by now. Jeff, thank you for allowing me the privilege of being on your show.
Of course, my friend. Thank you for doing what you do. And I'm here. Just let me know, and you want to come back on again with more information. The door is open always. Lindsay Williams with the latest. And we'll be back.